We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Sooner Sports Podcast, presented by Riverwind and Allstate. Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
All right, welcome into our Big 12 baseball preview edition of the Sooner Sports Podcast with the voice of the Sooners in the brick, Toby Rowland. I'm Chris Plank. It looks like Mother Nature's trying to be a baseball fan, right? Sun's starting to peek out every now and then. Not too shabby.
Well, let's knock on some wood.
Right.
Because it's Wednesday, and we got to get through Sunday. But, I mean, this is great. There's been a lot of, we're talking right now, what is it, almost noon?
Right.
On Wednesday. And it's not 100 degrees, which a lot of times it is at this event. And it's not storming right now, which a lot of times it is at this event. So it's just a nice – it's not super windy either.
No.
Which it always is at this event. So it's a very nice, pleasant day right now. And if we can keep this up for all of Wednesday, much less the next few days, this is pretty ideal.
With that in mind, I guess you could say what a pretty ideal start for Oklahoma. And I'm not, again, trying to get too carried away with a team struggling, but to see Baylor, I don't know if it's a final yet. I don't have it in front of me, but to see Baylor losing, that's a pretty good indication if you just want to look at two teams that are kind of in that same position where they're battling for a potential at large, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think there are four teams in this event that are in the NCAA tournament, regardless of what they do. Texas, TCU, Texas Tech, and probably Oklahoma State as well. Three of those four are going to be hosts. At least two, maybe three, are going to be national seeds, top eight national seeds. Then there are three teams that are not in. They have to win the tournament to have a chance, and that's Kansas, Kansas State, and West Virginia. Kansas has already been eliminated. And then there are two teams that you would say are on the bubble coming into this, and that's Baylor and Oklahoma. And Baylor is losing 11-4 right now to Texas Tech late in this game. They're probably, according to most of the prognosticators and the RPI, in a little bit better spot than OU, although the Sooners took three out of four up from them in the regular season, including two out of three last weekend in Waco, so maybe not. I mean, they're pretty close right now as to, I think, what their postseason perception is. So you know how this thing works. You're rooting for your team, Oklahoma,
right,
to get as many wins as possible this weekend to try to improve their resume. But you're also kind of rooting against the other bubble teams, and they are all over the country. There's several of them in the SEC, several of them in the ACC, and the other one here in Bricktown is Baylor. So I think that if you're a Sooner fan, you're definitely an anti-Baylor fan this weekend. But, just Oklahoma's situation is a little hard to know. You've been through this process with softball recently. The committee is in a interesting spot this year with the COVID restrictions and and some conferences not playing outside their own conference, like the Big Ten, like the Pac-12. So it's hard to, you know, have a conference comparison when you only play each other all the time. So it's a little, it's going to be interesting to see what the committee puts the most weight on this year when it comes to selecting that field of 64. Is it strictly RPI? Skip Johnson made a plea in his pre-tournament press conference saying, hey, listen, if this is the first or second best league in America, as all of the metrics say it is, I mean, we can't just have four teams in this field. That's ridiculous. That would be a slap in the face. That was his words. If the Big 12 only got four teams, maybe only five teams. So he was saying it should be easily that they get five, maybe six teams in the field. But, you know, he's speaking for his own case as well. I think probably at 27-26, with a fifth place finish in the Big 12, OU's slightly on the outside looking in right now. I think they probably need two wins, maybe three wins in Oklahoma City to garner an invite. There are a lot of things to like about OU. They beat Arkansas in Fayetteville, the unquestioned number one team in the country, the number one RPI team in the country. They beat them on their home field. That's huge. OU's got 9 quad one wins this year, which is a big number already. By comparison, Baylor's got 4 and Oklahoma State's got 5. So OU's got 9 quad one wins, and we're talking about maybe trying to pick up 2 or 3 more here this weekend. They've got 8 true road victories this year, which is a nice number as well. And they closed strong. They won 3 of their last 4 conference series, including 2 of those on the road at West Virginia and at Baylor. So there are a lot of things to like there about Oklahoma's resume. But they did lose some games they probably shouldn't have, and you really would not want to end up with an overall losing record on the season. I think that would probably eliminate them. And right now they're 27-26. So that means you definitely can't go 0-2 here. I think they need 2 wins, maybe even 3 wins to feel good about their chances.
You know, it's interesting because you said something, asked something of Skip Johnson that's really stayed with me about, hey, are there teams that you can use as examples? I think this was in your pregame show, Toby, on Saturday. Teams that you can look back on and say, hey, guys, this happened with X team and Y team. And he brought up, one of the last Texas teams he coached had got hot down the stretch and ended up making a big-time run. It happened for him in junior college. So, you know, I'm not ready to write off this team. You saw some pitchers. White Olds was really good on Saturday. You saw some guys pitch well this week. And I mean, I don't want to get too over my skis here, but I'm excited about what they could potentially do, Tiro.
You got to be. I mean, there is a team every year that goes on a run here in Oklahoma City. And, you know, 2 years ago it was TCU. TCU, it's hard to imagine now, but they were the 7 seed 2 years ago and got hot and surprised and went, I think, all the way to the championship game and lost, but got an invite to the NCAA tournament as a RPI team in the 50s, I believe. West Virginia has played remarkably well in this event through the years and made runs. So it happens every year that a team gets hot here and either wins it or, you know, boosts their resume enough in the eyes of the committee to get invited to the dance. And I think Oklahoma's got the right makeup to do that. You know, we'll see. A lot of times when that happens, and Skip mentioned this, it happens with the sticks. You know, a bunch of guys get hot at the same time, and it's easy to stay hot when you're playing every day. You know, if you're going out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you're hot, that's a dream come true. So this has been a good hitting lineup all year. And a team like Oklahoma, if they could all get hot, and they've been swinging it well the last couple of weeks, then maybe this event's made for them. The thing that worries you is the depth of pitching. And in an elongated, prolonged event like this, you're going to have to rely on some guys at some point who haven't carried huge loads for you this year. You know, Ruffcorn's going to start tonight. You know what you're getting there. And there's other guys like Carmichael and Bennett and Taggart and Carter. I mean, they've got – and Wyatt Olds, you mentioned. They've got a good nucleus. But at some point, if you're going to stay around for a while, there's going to be some guys like Javier Ramos or Ben Abram or Dalton Fowler who's going to be put out on the center stage in a big moment and have to deliver. And the depth of their pitching this year has been a question at times. So that's the – that's a little bit of the worrisome part coming into this from a being able to stick around for a long time.
Toby, this is, I guess this didn't really resonate with me, but what, we're shifting to the new Globe Life ballpark next year for the Big 12 baseball, right?
Yeah, this is it for Bricktown for a while. So I think it's, you know, maybe one of the reasons that they put Bedlam in primetime tonight. Normally the 4-5 game is the 9 a.m. game. And they flopped it this year. I think there was two reasons. One, because of the play-in game this year. They didn't want that winter Tuesday night to have to turn around and play early Wednesday. But maybe even a bigger reason was the Bedlam situation. And it's going to be a good draw tonight. This place will have as many tickets sold as are allowed to be sold. And it's going to be sad to see it leave Bricktown. I think we'll be back eventually, but they've signed a contract, the Big 12 has, with Globe Life Field down in Arlington, the Rangers' new ballpark, for the next several years. So this event that has been a staple of downtown Oklahoma City and the Bricktown area for a long time, this will be the last time for a bit.
Final thought, man, because we got your interview from your radio show with Skip Johnson, and Kenny Mossman's going to join us a little bit later on to talk about the new Home Run Village, the Pizza Hut Home Run Village for this weekend. But I do want to keep this focused on baseball and Skip Johnson's opportunity to get this team into the postseason outside of just winning the whole thing, right? What do you need to see from this team this weekend, Toby, to allow them to play their best, be their best, and advance in this tournament?
I think you have to have a very aggressive mindset in an event like this, and specifically in a game like tonight. Oklahoma hasn't had a lot of success against Oklahoma State in recent years, but this year they did. They won the conference series from the Cowboys. They won 2 of 3, including a 16-2 win up in Stillwater. And I felt like that weekend, the conference tournament or the conference Bedlam weekend, OU was the more aggressive team. I feel like they got off the bus looking for a fight and kind of took it to OSU. And that hasn't necessarily always been the case. The opposite's been true a lot in recent years. So I think it's going to be important for them to show up tonight with a ready-to-battle, aggressive mentality at the plate, on the mound. Don't nip at corners. Come right after these guys. Go up there, man, not trying to draw walks, but trying to hit the baseball and, you know, see what kind of – if you can get game one tonight, get yourself in the winner's bracket, then everything is significantly easier from there. Not to mention it would be another great mark on the resume. So, and that all really, for me, starts with Peyton Graham. I mean, I think he's the head of the stake for this team. He's one of those guys – at the top of your order that's capable of getting hot and going on big time tears. And if he could get hot at the top of the lineup for them, I think it would open up everything for everybody on down the line a bit. So there you go. That's my
love it.
That's one of about 12 keys, I think, for them to play in well this weekend.
Odds you're actually on the air at 7 p.m. and first pitch at 7:30 tonight.
I would say, let's see, right now we are 9 minutes away from when the second game is supposed to start, and this game is in the 8th inning. So I'm going to put it at 1,000 to 1.
have a great call tonight, Toby.
There's no chance we start before 9 o'clock tonight. All right, thank you, Chris.
All right, can't wait to listen. See you, buddy. All right, so from a live update at the Brick, Toby caught up with Sooner head baseball coach Skip Johnson earlier this morning to talk about the Sooners' chances in the Big 12 tournament and where the skipper thinks they need to improve.
I was thinking about your team. Resilient is a word that's come up a lot with your team. We've talked about it when they find themselves in an early deficit in a game and they fight back, and they've done it many times this year. But also just kind of the season as a whole. There's been a few times this year where it looks like, all right, that's probably it. The season's probably getting away from them, and then you go win a big game or you win a big series. And it happened again down in Waco last weekend. What is it about your team, do you think, that has enabled this resilience and toughness out of them this year?
I think it's just not giving in, you know, to all the circumstances that's been surrounding them throughout their, you know, some of them career the last 2 years, and some of them started their career at the University of Oklahoma. I think the leadership of guys like Tyler Hardman, guys like Connor McKenna, guys like Brandon Zaragoza, Justin Mitchell, Jason Ruffcorn, Wide Oates. I think it's those guys that that really, you know, continue to not give in and not give up. And the coaching staff. I mean, we're still trying to teach every day, get better. I mean, it's one of those deals that you know, that's what the game of baseball demands out of you, is to go out and keep teaching. I mean, it's easy to give up and quit. That's the easy part. The hard part is just when you can get knocked down, can you get back up?
Where do you feel like you are in the NCAA tournament picture, Coach?
Well, I mean, it was a great question. They asked me that question yesterday, and he said, well, Coach, it looks like y'all got to win a couple games to get into the NCAA tournament. And I was like, well, did you hear something about that or something? And the guy says, no. I said, well, normal years, you're probably right. But this is not a normal year. I mean, our league is the number one RPI league in the country. It was this year. All right? So we're having three teams host, top eight seeds. We should get five or six teams in automatically. If not, it'd be a slap in the Big 12's face if that didn't happen with three teams hosting. And I know we're 27-26, but this is not an ordinary year. I mean, there's some leagues that didn't even play conference schedules or non-conference schedules. And you look at it like that, they're going to have to take a long look at it for sure. I want to keep playing good. There's no doubt about that. You're dealing with 18 to 22, 23-year-old young men that you're trying to teach life lessons to. This week we could go out and play good. This week I think we're going to continue to play good. I mean, we've played pretty good the last month. And now that they're out of school right now, they've been – I mean, it's been fun watching them, even in practice sessions, wanting to be around each other. And I think they know the importance of the sense of urgency of playing good in this tournament and getting out there and getting after it for sure.
You have been a part of teams that have gone on a run here, specifically in this event. A couple of those Texas teams got hot in the Big 12 tournament and then made big runs on into the NCAA tournament. But an event like this where you could have to play a large number of games, you know, hopefully you play a large number of games in a very short amount of time, what is important for you to be able to pull that off?
Just catch the baseball. I mean, basically play a good game and catch a situational hit. I mean, and when we play defense, we're a good baseball team. And if we don't play good defense, then we're not a very good baseball team. And a lot of times, there's a loss on Thursday. There's three or four or five errors in that game that we consider errors in on the coaching staff, that you've got to make those plays. And if you don't make those plays, you're going to get beat. And you got to play defense. And you just got to keep going and having fun at the ballpark, because that's what really matters, is their confidence level, and to go out and just to continue sustaining rallies after rally after rally. You can get hot, and you're sitting there thinking, how that guy, you know, when that guy has swung the bat like that all year. Well, it's kind of started happening last weekend, and there's guys that are hitting home runs that hadn't hit home runs all year, and so it's been fun to watch.
From a pitching perspective, do you go into an event like this and say, all right, I might need that guy as a fifth starter on down the line, so I better, you know, protect him? Or can you even think like that? Is it just all hands on deck every game and I'll worry about tomorrow?
All hands on deck and worry about tomorrow. I mean, you have to do that. You know, every game, every pitch, every out is important. And I think that's a separator, right? You know, and for that fact, I mean, there ain't a guy on that team that couldn't start. Really. You know, all of them starting at some point, you know, whether it's inner squad or games itself, there's not a guy on that team that's not accustomed to going out and trying to start. You know, I mean, how many really great starts have we had this year? We're just throwing 9 innings, 27 outs. Every out matters.
Jason Ruffcorn, as a starter, he's going to get the ball tonight. What have you seen from him as a starter, and is it the same as a reliever? Do you feel like he's changed at all or needs to change at all in a starting role, or is he the same guy?
No, I think he's the same guy. He was 96, 97 miles an hour on his 120th pitch a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, the effort's going to be there. I think the difference for us is we think we can win when Jason Ruffcorn takes him out. That's a mindset deal. We think we can win when Jason Ruffcorn takes him out, and that's why he's there. And I mean, Wide O's was outstanding out of the bullpen behind him last week. And he's been outstanding out of the bullpen. And it's just a mindset deal for us that we've got to continue to grow in, you know, as much as anything. We know we can win when he's out there. You know, and it was that way with Carmichael after he beat Arkansas. You know, we knew we could win when he took the mound. And those things are very important in a young mind's, a young player's brain.
Sixth time you faced Oklahoma State this year. You're very familiar with their lineup, with their pitching staff. Give me your impression of the Cowboys going into tonight.
Very physical, very physical team. A lot of older guys on that team. Your pitch ability. You have to mix all the way through their lineup how you're going to pitch them. I think they're. I don't know. It's one of those deals you got to continue to mix. I know that for sure, and it's going to be fun. I know the opportunities there for us. We played really good against them. I mean, even in our losses, except for one loss, we played really good against them. So. I think the sense of urgency is there for our baseball team. And it's going to be a great opportunity. There's going to be a lot of folks out there tonight at 7:30. That means if we get to start at 7:30, you know, most of the time this last game, you start about 10:30.
I'm with you. I hope we're closer to 7:30 than 10:30.
Ooh, me too.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fun. I can't wait to see you at the ballpark tonight, Coach. We get to see Bedlam again and the postseason gets underway today. Coach Skip Johnson. Coach, thank you so much, and good luck to you this week.
You bet. Thank you, guys, and look forward to seeing you guys at the ballpark.
Skip Johnson believes, I believe, OU baseball, Big 12 tournament, big-time preview. Thanks to Skip Johnson. Thanks to Toby Rowland.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, a big announcement was made this past 24 hours. There is going to be something very cool this year in the Super Regionals. The Oklahoma Sooners, and through the creativity of the marketing department, and apparently when Kenny Mossman joins us here in just a bit, we got to give some credit to JT Gasso, who, by the way, will be on Friday's pod with us. But we will have a home run village just beyond the left field wall this week. So while the game's going on, you can sit beyond the left field wall and watch the game with us and enjoy almost an in-game experience. Here was Coach Gasso. She was on the Sports Talk Network yesterday going in-depth about FanFest.
We want as many people to come out as possible, so we are now creating a FanFest that's going to be on the band field beyond our left field. There's going to be a super huge big screen TV out there. There's going to be food trucks. There's going to be games, you know, some things for kids. You can. It's free. Come out, bring your lawn chairs, bring your blankets. It's going to be an MC and music out there. So you may not be in the field, but you're going to be sitting right behind the outfield fence. Heads up for any home runs coming your way, because they'll come over and right at you. But I think it would be a tremendous atmosphere for families that either can't afford to get in, or there's just, they got to it too late. So I think there's going to be a lot of fun out there, and we're going to have it going Friday, Saturday, and hopefully not on Sunday, which means that we did it in two games. But it can really be something special, and they're putting it together really fast, and I know that it's going to come out very soon to the public to get all the information. But it's free. You can bring your whole family and have a good time out there on Memorial Weekend.
So let's go in depth. Let's get all the information and details with Kenny Mossman. I'm really excited about the creation, the genesis of this event as a home run village for softball. Take us through kind of the process and what led to putting on something like this.
Well, that was, first of all, I get really upset when people butcher my title. So
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know me better than that.
Much better.
The idea was really born out of softball, to be honest with you. The coaches had some discussion amongst themselves. I think JT Gasso was the one who actually came up with the idea. And then Coach Gasso called and suggested that, or asked, is that something we could look into? And it came together very easily. Pizza Hut jumped on board as a sponsor. Our partner, Center Sports Properties, did a great job of jumping in and getting Pizza Hut secured. And then we got a couple food trucks that wanted to come and get involved. And then we were able to get the Go Vision screen to come to Norman for that weekend. So it was pretty seamless, really. But we owe the tip of the cap to, I think JT was the one who cooked up the idea. And it was kind of a copy of the Football Fan Fest that we do. So we're excited. We're excited to put it on.
I'm pumped about it, too, because I joked about this earlier, Kenny. I was thinking about earlier this year, maybe it was the Mexico series, the Team Mexico series, or maybe even the Texas series. And I remember there was a group of fans that were just standing outside the fence down the left field line. Just, you know, they wanted to kind of be around it and be near it. And I happened to mention, mm-hmm. boy, this place, it's people are trying to get in. And they were listening. They started losing their minds over there beyond the left field wall. I think it speaks to the thirst that people have to just be around this program, right?
Yeah, I think so. People like the energy that's coming from this team, and this isn't inside the gates necessarily, but right. It's as close as you're going to get. And I think we're going to give people a really good viewing experience. And we'll have restroom facilities, food. We'll have the things you need. I imagine people will bring frisbees and ball gloves and all that kind of stuff. That's what we hope anyway. But, it'll start as a fan fest, really, before the gates open. It's going to open 2 hours before first pitch, and so that means it'll be an hour before the gates open. And so fans can come do their pregame there if they want to. And then for those who don't have a ticket but want to hang around, they can stay and watch the whole game right there in that same location. So it'll have a little bit of something for everybody. We have the schooner out there with the horses, so you can get a picture taken with the schooner. We'll have some inflatable games out there that kids can play. And I think there'll be plenty to do to keep people occupied.
A couple of other things around this. You mentioned starting a couple hours before the game. There's always tailgating that takes place, and that's in the area that's outside the main gates. I mean, I think it'd be really cool, as you just brought up, let's make that the tailgate area too, a couple hours before the game, right?
Yeah, well, and I expect that'll happen. I would imagine some people will bring their own food, but you know, we'll have it there available if they don't want to mess with that. But yeah, it's, you know, that's a really big space. I mean, you can get spread out there, and they have a lot of room, and we'll get the screen hoisted up there nice and high so you can see it. And the screen is 9 feet by 16 feet, so it'll be easily viewable. And so yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. Patty asked me yesterday how many people I thought would show up, and I said, you know, I've got no clue. I said, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 200 or 1,000. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what the turnout is.
And just that field is typically like a band practice field and just kind of an open area, right?
Yeah, that's where the band practices. So it's a big space. It's probably more than a football field, I would guess. And you'll see people out there a lot of times, you know, throwing a ball or a frisbee or something like that. It's a big, wide open area. The grass there is lush. If you brought a blanket and sat there, I think you'd be comfortable. And so, no, it's a really good spot for it. We're really excited. As I told her yesterday, if you have any interest in this at all, you know, this would be the kind of thing you would be attracted to, I think. And she also told me yesterday, and we'll see if she can do this or not, she's going to try to bring the team out there and at least acknowledge the people who came. So that'll be cool, too.
Oh, absolutely. A couple of other quick ones, and we'll let Kenny get back to work this morning. We should point this out. Obviously, if you have a ticket, you can come and enjoy it before going into the game. But if you don't have a ticket, Kenny, I think the bottom line here is we're trying to create – and again, I haven't been on any of these conversations, but just knowing what FanFest was like for football, we're trying to create almost a game-like party around the game itself, right?
Right. When the game starts, it turns into a watch party.
Right.
It's a pregame FanFest, and then when the game starts, it'll be a watch party. So if you want to watch the game with a lot of other Oklahoma fans, that's the place to be. And you'll have, like I said, you have access to the services that we provide. There'll be some things for families to do together, and you can just sit there and relax and watch the game and keep your eyes up, too, because you may get a ball land right in the middle of your picnic. But if Jossie gets a hold of one, she can definitely get it that far.
How fun has this team been to follow for you?
Well, they're just, you know, you kind of pinch yourself. I've told people around here during other seasons with other sports to take time to relax and catch your breath and enjoy the moment, because these kinds of things don't come along all that often. And I know that we have a consistently good softball team, but this is truly a one-of-a-kind type of year. And, you know, my greatest regret is that we weren't able to be full all year. I just think of the number of great atmospheres that we missed because of the pandemic and how much people would have enjoyed seeing this team so much more. But I can dwell on that, or I can be happy in the fact that we've got it open and full for the postseason. So I'll stay there. But really, really fun. And the thing that always makes it fun with softball is it's fun to cheer for good teams. It's fun and a privilege and all the great things about sports when you're cheering for a great team that's full of good people. And that's what this is. So you've got a team full of people that you'd love to hang around with. You'd love to have be your daughters, your daughter-in-laws. I mean, they're outstanding young women and coaches. And so it's really neat on every level.
It is. And I love the way you put it. We could sit here and lament, oh my gosh, I wish we had fans here all season long. But Kenny, that atmosphere that was created Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it was what they say in the opening week, and I think Lauren Chamberlain tweeted, like, hey, you let a caged animal out when they were talking about the Sooner offense. I felt like that was the fans this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. It was electric in there. It was I don't know that I've ever experienced it like that before, and I've been in there a lot of times when it's full, but that group of fans was especially into it. And I got to give some credit to our team, too. They do a great job of getting our fans into it. I think our fans feel like they're very much a part of this team because of how this team treats them. You know, I watch our outfielders go out to the outfield, and I usually sit out in right field. And I've watched Nicole Mendez come out there and speak with the people in the bleachers. And you just don't see that in sports. And so there's a very unique camaraderie that has developed between the players on this team and the fans. And I think they all kind of feel like they're in it together, which is exactly what you want it to feel like.
No, absolutely. Hey, a final thought, Kenny. Let's just reset for everyone. Pizza Hut's jumped on board. We're doing Home Run Village just beyond the left field wall. There's plenty of parking that's going to be available in the field. We expect good weather this weekend. It's going to be a great event for fans that don't have tickets to really come out and immerse themselves in a softball environment.
Absolutely. You covered it perfectly, but that's exactly what we want to create.
All right. Great stuff. Kenny, I know you're busy today, and I started bugging you early this morning, but I'm glad we found time to chat, and we'll have to do this again soon. Hopefully this Fan Village thing can catch on, and we're going to do it quite a bit in the future.
I would love that. That would be a lot of fun. But thanks for the time, Chris. Appreciate it. Hope a lot of people will come out.
I do, too. Thanks, Kenny. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Uh-huh.
See you, buddy. Thanks for joining us for this edition of the Sooner Sports Podcast. As always, we appreciate you downloading, subscribing, sharing, spreading the word on social media. Means the world. We'll have complete coverage on Friday's pod of the Super Regional. Kind of get you, hopefully, in-process updates of the Oklahoma baseball team, as Toby will be with them every step of the way in Oklahoma City. Everyone have a great midweek. And until Friday's edition of The Tailgate, Boomer Sooner, everybody.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Riverwind, home to a luxury hotel, fine dining, and never-ending rewards. Riverwind is still the one. And Allstate, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review however you listen. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Sooner Sports Network.